Hey y'all, hey, this is Dr. O again for another episode of Dr. O After Dark. And y'all, I know y'all like Dr. O, you say that all the time. But no, seriously, I am so excited to have my good friend here. And I call him Carrie.
Don't.
You know, but we're going to call him, his name is Maurice Carey. He is an actor, director, entrepreneur, coach, and a jarhead veteran. So only I can, with me being, with Navy veteran, you know, that's my boy. That's my devil dog. That is my jarhead. And that's why I also call him by his last name, Carey versus Maurice. So that's what we are here about. But y'all don't have that privilege. So thank you so much, my love, for being here.
It is my
again,
pleasure.
Before I, you know, y'all. You know, he came out here today with all his chest and
No.
Look.
Listen.
He's going to blame it on the lights, but he all glistening. He put oil. He done put baby oil on his chest.
No.
Y'all, he said, I'm coming ready for Dr. O After Dark. And all the singleness, got the beard, the fresh. I tell y'all, he is.
Listen, guys. No, I had on a white T-shirt and I wasted juice on my T-shirt. Okay, I had to take it off. But all right, you got a little bit of chesticles. I'm gonna say testicles.
What kind of juice?
It was grape juice. I'm black. Grape drink.
Oh, just okay. Water. I thought it was, you know, the other kind of juice that made
you. Oh, no!
You know, I was telling earlier, my sister, shout out to my sister Charisma in Seattle. She said she don't date guys with beards because all she think about when she see a man with a beard is all of you ladies on social media talking about how y'all got your juices.
Well, tell your
in
sister.
In a man's beard.
Tell your sister.
So
when I'm in a relationship, that's legit. When I'm in a relationship, that's legit.
So no, only grape juice was on his beard. Mm-hmm. So he say, maybe it tastes like grape. He meant pineapple.
She vegan?
Y'all eating your pineapples. It was pineapple juice.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm super excited and I appreciate you having me here. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself, what you got going on, I'm sure a lot of you guys may already recognize his face. He has been in major productions with, shout out to Tyler Perry. Hey, boo, if you want to come on to Dr. After Dark, you know, hit a girl up. Viola Davis, my
that
sister.
That was wonderful, yeah.
Yes.
I love working with her.
I know, I was so jealous. I wanted to come to the set, like, you know, just, you know, can I sneak in a little bit?
Like she said, I'm Maurice B. Carey. I'm an actor, a coach, a personal motivator.
Personal trainer.
I do a few push-ups. I do a few push-ups here and there. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, born and raised. Full-time single father, so I got my little girl at home right now. I've been raising her for 13 years by myself.
Yeah.
She's 14.
Beautiful little, sweet, amazing. We need to get her on Dr. Rose.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. She would love to. Because the thing is, because I raised her, so she's a lot like me, so all her sarcasm and humor comes from me.
Just like daddy.
Yeah, she daddy. Yeah. She's funny. She's worse. She's worse than me. But
I know. You can tell them that.
Yeah.
Believe me, remember, I know.
Yeah, my daughter's wild. So, yes. So you might have seen me on Atlanta, The First Lady. I got a film coming up with Morgan Freeman. Just more and more and more different things. So I'm a guy doing things on TV.
And then you recently had a play.
Yes,
and I just seen a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Super amazing, dope play. And I hear you guys are you know, expanding it?
Mm-hmm. So I did, I'm a part of a play called Lorraine. I play the role of William Warren, the hotel manager. And it was the second time when you came to see it, it was backed by popular demand. What's great is that the play has been going so well is that we're going to be going through Atlanta again and again and again. Possibly a residency. We're kind of working on that. We'll see.
Wonderful.
And we'll be able to get it back to you folks out there. You behind the camera, and you over there, and you right here. So.
Yeah, so we will make sure that we keep everybody mm-hmm. up to date on when it comes out, because when I saw it, absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be honest.
Come on.
Be honest.
Come on.
So I had never heard of like the production company, and I think where the location of it was at one of the, where did you guys have it at?
We were up in Austell.
All the way out in Austell. I mm-hmm. was like, y'all gonna go out and support my boy.
But and I appreciate it.
I ain't expecting much. It's all the way out here in Austell. Right. It's gonna be, you
but
know,
then when you walked
that
up in
D-level
there.
Class. But when I tell you, those were A-list actors and actresses. The vocals, the music, mm-hmm. the script.
Inkwell and Cal Reese and just thank you. I appreciate that.
When I say Broadway, like, listen, I'm ready.
That's the goal.
I was sitting here and it's about, to get a little bit of background, it's about civil rights and Martin Luther mm-hmm. King, and it has, you know, a lot of, you know, the artists and different things like that who were all a part of the movement mm-hmm, back then mm-hmm. up until when he got shot and mm-hmm. killed at the hotel where it's based around.
Correct.
The Lorraine.
Correct.
But when I tell you who played Tina, when I was up in there.
were you doing it too?
Listen, you, I was.
Shout out to Latreia Savage. She was the one that was playing Tina Turner's Latreia Savage. Y'all look her up on Instagram. She's amazing. She does so many other artists of the time, but she's really, really known for doing her Tina Turner with the voice and the movies and the dance. Oh man, she's really
ooh,
great.
And the spoken word artist who played
Nina Simone.
Yes. When I tell you.
Yeah, she had
when
had
I
cup.
Tell you, I thought that was Nina Simone. If Nina Simone was not dead and in her grave, God bless you. That woman, when I tell you, mm-hmm. not only just the vocals, but the spirit.
Yeah.
Oh,
she has such power and passion in her voice. And you know, I'm standing behind the stage. I'm trying to be cool because I got to go on right after that. But I'm back there going, yeah. You know, I'm going to turn it up. I'm like, don't turn up because you got to be cool. Don't turn up. But you can't help it. Because she was just so powerful. So much energy.
She was. It was, you know. Sam Cooke.
So Sam Cooke, Murray Duffy. The thing is with his character, it's such a powerful moment in the play that it is every single time that he's sang that song. There has not been a single time. Now I've seen the play. I've been in the play 8 times. We've done it.
Okay.
And we've rehearsed numerous times.
Absolutely.
And every time he sings, a change gonna come.
The tears.
Every
time.
When you see me on stage, and because I come in right after him, and
yes,
I'm over
and
here like this.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it is. It's the way he sings it. Y'all got to check out Murray Duffy. It's the way he sings that song every
it's
time.
It's amazing.
And I ain't no crying ass dude. I should shoot people for a little.
As a Marine, not as a gangster.
I didn't feel like I needed to say that. I thought that was obvious. I thought that was clear.
As a jarhead, kill.
Iraq war veteran.
So I'll tell you, the first time that I had an experience with the Marine,
mm-hmm.
first duty station.
Yeah, be clear. What kind of experience?
Yes.
You know, we go hard in the paint.
And it was those experiences too. Hey, now.
Oh, that's good wine.
But we're not talking about that. I mean, at my first duty station.
Duty.
How much did his wine.
Nothing. You better stay out my glass. Stay out of grown folk business. Stay out of
grown folk. Nah, not duty station. I mean, you are. We ain't talking about the booty station. But
She does squats. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Lots and lots and lots of squats. So, I was my first duty station in Pensacola, Florida, NAS Pensacola, shout out. And I had got sent to the brig. Brig is the jail. Listen, wasn't my fault. That's a whole nother episode. Y'all make sure y'all read my book on trauma and all of that kind of stuff. Military sexual trauma, all that. We will bring it all up. But
for those who don't know, the brig is jail.
It is jail.
She just said she went to jail.
To military jail.
She got a record.
I was locked up.
They let your ass out though, didn't they?
They did. They did. Okay. So we march in, we had to do PT, so physical training, for those who don't know. And we're, so Pensacola, Florida, you know, Florida, we're by, you know, it's still, the base is on the water. And so it has so many stories from that.
Sure.
Humvees coming out of the water in the middle of the night. That story. So I was trying to have a romantic night with the guy I was dating at that time. And I found this secluded spot on the base, on the beach. Went out there, I think it was for his birthday, and had a blanket out, had candles, put it in the sand, had chocolate and strawberries, a little bit of music. Now this is back in the 9899, so I was doing it. We out there, and we just got to the place where we are bucket naked. Bucket naked. And next thing I know, I see this Humvee coming, like these lights coming out of the water.
Uh-oh. Oh, and were they pointing at you? Oh, man.
From on base, we got us so quick, gathered our stuff, running through halfway naked in the excluded part of the beach. We didn't get caught. You know, but it was.
You better than me. I'd have stood right there. I was like, you want some of this?
Nah. That was my early days.
You want a piece of me?
Next day, when I went into the office and everything, I had chamomile oil all over.
Sand fleas.
Them damn, thank you. When I tell people now about sand fleas, they like, what?
Sand fleas.
Them sand fleas had me eating up.
Lives.
But getting back to the Marine, my first experience with the Marine. We marching, doing PT. We all in a line. This fool leaves out of the line and runs into the middle of the ocean to kill himself. And he's like, kill, kill, kill. That was my first. Yeah, and then they had to go in and get him out.
They had to go get him, man.
Yeah, but the tide was carrying him away and we sitting there looking like.
Did they figure out why that was? He's probably married.
I don't know, but he probably was dealing with crazy men.
No, and that's not even a joke. Like military, and just when you marry young in the military, especially if you're a war veteran, it becomes especially stressful. It becomes especially stressful. And I say this because, for one, we go to war. And I say this because I was married.
You were married.
I was married when I went to Iraq.
Okay.
And so,
how long were you married for when you went to Iraq?
Man, we got married less than a year, probably six, 7 months.
You guys were still newlywed. Now, was she also in the military or in the military or like high school?
She was a military brat.
Okay.
So basically, I met her when I went to school in Maryland. And then I went to Japan for a year, flew back, got married.
Okinawa?
Iwakuni.
Mm-hmm.
And then I flew back and we moved to California together as a married couple. And so I ended up going to Iraq, and you know, while I was in Iraq, she got pregnant. Or whatever.
You
know,
by you?
No, not while I was in Iraq. My dick is not that long. Ooh, cut that. cut that shit out. Cut that. Let
that. No, we're keeping that.
No, we're not.
Cause we heard that he said he, you know.
That's not what I said.
He said it's not that long, lady. I mean, we know we couldn't have all of this in a nice package.
Right. It can't be perfect, right? It's got to be something. Why are you single?
We know what it is.
Right. It's got to be something.
Like my homegirl used to say, tickle me, Elma.
No. So while I was in,
we're talking about Trump being traumatized.
We're talking
about being traumatized. See, that will.
So
that's why we do. That's why all of my female patients are in therapy. Right. Over.
Girl, let me tell you, he's perfect, but it's a pain.
Except.
But no. Okay, so while I was in Iraq, I was fighting at war. She found another Marine and got pregnant by that Marine. And, you know, so I feel like I handled it pretty well, but that happened to other Marines as well. And those particular military guys, they wanted to take themselves out, because the thing is, you're dealing with bombs, blood, and bullets. Mm-hmm.
Then you want to come back.
Then you come back to I'm coming back to love and happiness and joy, and I'm going to get me some, you know? Real talk.
And
it's like, yo, whoa.
I've been gone for like 12 months.
That's not how this works.
Jesus. Married.
So some guys, I do understand, especially when you're young, I do understand coming back from having to be a warrior, like for a year, having to be a warrior to reality that the person that you love and the person that you confided in and the person that you trusted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's serious, I would say, for anyone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, military or not, just infidelity is extremely hard.
Traumatic. It can be traumatic.
Now, also with the Marine, I know one of the things that's taught and instilled is that you guys are killing machines.
Kill, kill.
Yes. Kill, kill, kill.
I just realized something, and y'all can, when I literally smiled really big. You saw it, right?
He did.
I smiled huge
and said,
kill, kill. I didn't do that. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Kill.
I mean, do I need to get out my wine? We need to do some spotting.
I'm good. So I'm very self-aware, and I just realized it right then. Like, I literally said kill, kill, and smiled really hard in the camera.
So tell me maybe a little bit about that. How do you transition from that Marine life of being trained to just be a killer? And as you said, kill, kill. And what now... are able to, you're a successful single father raising a little girl, a young lady, and that softness you need to have with that. And then also into the arts and how successful you have been in, you know, the plays and the movies and production and just as an actor as a whole.
So what was beneficial and helpful for me was the fact that I've always been an actor. Even when I was a kid, I couldn't put a word to it, but I've always been an entertainer.
Okay.
I've always been the life of the party. There was even a point where one of my gunnery sergeants, when I was in my unit, said, you should have been in the Air Force. Like, he literally told me, you should have been in the Air Force. You have too much personality for the Marine Corps. And so even while I was in the Marine, I was a rapper. Like, you can Google Southern Noise, Southunoyz. Google Southern Noise.
And say it again.
S-O-U, T-H-U, that's South, then the letter U, N-O-Y-Z, Southern Noise. Google it and the music comes up and you'll see. I had an artistic outlet even while I was doing that.
Let me hear you spit something.
Oh, you mean like right now?
Yeah, off the dome. You can't be, you know, plugging your music and then...
I don't rap no more though.
Let me give you a beat.
No, please don't do that. You just spit on me. Why are you spitting on something in my face? No.
I was about to say something, but we gonna...
You don't juice on my beard?
No, you want to spit on you, baby.
But, okay. But
that R. Kelly.
Robert. But so part of it too, and I'm gonna be completely honest. One of the first and probably one of the best songs I ever did, it was a song I did called Therapy. It was after I found out my wife had cheated on me, and I was very, very angry.
Okay.
And it was a great outlet to help even transition me from being a machine to going back to just being a man. You know, and then also, so it was that, it was, I've always had that mix of art and we'll just say life. You know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That might be a good title for this episode, From Machine to Man.
We're gonna have the Terminator.
We're going to have to use that in some type of way. Now, your daughter, is she from your wife?
Mm-hmm. Okay. She's from my second wife. I've been married twice. Yeah. I'm aware.
Third time's a charm? You want to get married again?
I'm not opposed, per se.
Okay.
But I'm of the mind now that, now that I'm older, I realize I don't require marriage in the same way that I thought I did. I actually, because I've never really seen it, I require loyalty. How rare loyalty and trust is. I've had trust, but I've never had that loyalty. And loyalty is so rare. It is actually more rare than I ever could have imagined it. I've had women that loved me. I've had women that desired me. I've had women that hated me. I've had women that I believed were loyal to me. Mm-hmm. But then when things got difficult, they're like, I'm gonna head on out and I'm gonna catch me the next one. And I believe, I had this conversation. Women aren't built to protect. They're not built to protect men. And that's fine. That's not what they're there for. Men are here to be protectors
and providers. That's exactly. The man's job, protect and provide.
Exactly. And so no one realizes that there are moments in a man's life when we need to be protected.
No, absolutely. Well. Absolutely. The man's job is to protect and provide for the family, but the woman's or the wife's job is also to be a covering and protection over her mate.
Right. And usually, well, historically, in my case, when times got rough, you know what they say, the going gets tough, the tough get going.
My tough
always got going.
Okay.
So I realized in that I don't require, I'm not opposed to marriage, but I don't require it. I just require loyalty.
Okay. Okay. So you, even if it didn't equate to marriage, a long-term relationship with loyalty, if they're loyal, is
just,
what
just will... stick by me. I'm an investment. I am an investment. And I say that because my first wife would have never known that.
Your first wife wouldn't known? Like, you got to invest into all of this with a... okay. That's why his first and second wife...
That is not.
That's what I heard. The word on the street.
That is not the word on the street. The dick on the table say.
I mean, this is after dark. I'm just saying.
No. Let me. I'm sorry.
Bring it out. Come on, T.I. How you doing? Bring it out. I mean, we only believe the evidence. I mean.
I'm not. I done forgot what the hell I was saying. I done forgot my whole damn point fucking with you, Dr. O. God damn it, diagnose me and get me the fuck up out of here.
So we do it all here.
I dig it.
The sex therapy, how to increase your relationships, improve them, mental health, the aspects of trauma, the things that we're bringing from the past and how it impacts us today. So all of this, yes, we're having fun. It's in just in all of that kind of great stuff. But what we also know is that these are the things that also create and impact our relationships and the sustainability and everything of our relationship.
I will say people use the phrase, they say it all the time. They say, you have to heal from your, you have to heal before you go into your next relationship. And the thing is healing is one thing. You can heal. but there's a such thing as scars. You cannot ignore a scar. People want you to ignore your scars.
No, and that's when we get to the impact of trauma, mm-hmm. is that invisible disability, is that we can heal from it, mm-hmm. but we cannot change the past and what has happened. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be a part of us. So there's things that happen that take away a part of you, whether it is trauma, death, war, violence, mm-hmm. low social, whatever it is, it takes and it eats away at a part of you, and that's a part of you you'll never get back. Mm-hmm. Now, we can improve, we can heal, we can, you know, still have a great and functional and wonderful and loving life.
That scar,
it's still gonna be there.
It's like this glass has a crack in it. It's like we can still use
it. Don't be talking about my crack glass.
It has a crack in it. The crack will always be there. We can't fix it. Broken crayon, steel color.
That's it.
I love it.
Broken crayon, steel color.
I can still drink from this glass, but that crack, you acknowledge. Even, watch this. When you poured it, you know, I noticed there was a crack in it, so I turned it this way. Acknowledging that it's there and adjusting to the fact that it's there. Because I don't know if it'll drip. Mm-hmm. I don't know if a part of that trauma will drip out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I turned it this way.
And leak onto you.
There you go.
Which we're not gonna do.
We don't wanna leak on me. Or do we? It's been a minute. It's been a while. I've been focusing on my career and just kinda.
All right.
I'm gonna have some water now. Come on, pour me a glass of agua. Some H2O over here, because I'm saying way too much.
Pour me a little bit, because obviously.
Mm-hmm. I'll be finding out.
So, been a while. Where can those who want to follow you, find out, watch some of your movies, list some of them that you may have, where we can find them at, if they're on in theaters, Tubi, Netflix?
So right now I'm actually being memed really hard. I did a film a couple of years ago called Urge. And in that film, it was about a man. It's actually based on a true story about a man who had an addiction to porn. Okay. And he was married. And
were you the man that had the addiction?
Well, in the film.
You were the man.
I didn't write the book.
But you played the man.
I played the man.
You played the main character that had an addiction to porn.
So there's a scene
and
where
he said it's been a while.
So there's a scene where I had to basically masturbate on camera. So they've been memeing this.
They just showed the gesture, or they actually showed
just the gesture. Just
the pinky. I mean,
you swear my.
You can't even get a whole. Y'all ladies ever had anybody where you can't even fit your whole hand around it? You ever had those where you put it in your mouth and you gag and you like, oh, I got the gag reflex, and then you get those who it's like, I got anything. I'm swishing this around like mouthwash, a little.
Fellas.
Little Chucky. Got the little Chucky pee-pee.
Fellas.
And don't let that fool you, because not all of us, them Africans and black men got them, I done tell you. No. But I was married,
The cameraman, the man behind the camera, it's a cameraman, guys. So it's he and I right here right now, like, oh, the fuck is going on?
You and my director both are like a part of the teeny, meeny, teeny, weeny, You know, we like them like the ice cream truck. Do your hang low, do it wobble to and fro. Can you tie it in a knot? Can you tie it in a bow? Can you throw it over your shoulder like a continental soldier? Does it hang low? No, it doesn't. So, where can we find you?
Y'all can find me at a penis transplant clinic. Because you want some bullshit. That's where you can find me. Because you want some bullshit right now. with the transplant. No.
He's throwing it over his shoulder. He said he can throw it over his shoulder like a continent, like a Marine. Not like an Army soldier. I can throw it over my shoulder like a Marine. Two, three, four.
You can find me on all social media at Maurice P. Carey. That's MauriceP. Carey. On all social media, Google me, IG. And also, like I said, I coach and I teach acting. And I teach people how to become an actor and how not to get scammed out there. So hit me up.
And that's a whole...
It is a thing!
We didn't tie it in. That's a whole nother story, especially being out here in Atlanta. There's so many places that are scammy, models. I mean, I used to do a little bit of acting back in the day. I don't got that much dedication to it now, unless you want to be my, you know...
Your agent?
You got some, you know, scripts or something.
I see what I can do. When I first started acting in 2006, I got scammed. I was in San Diego and I got scammed, but obviously I didn't know. I went in on my own, and I'm trying to make sure that people do not get harmed. I have a protective spirit. I was a Marine, I was a security guard, I was an EMT, I was a firefighter. I'm a full-time father. So I'm a protector just by nature. And I don't
y'all need to be saved. That Marine firefighter, dude.
And I do push-ups.
Y'all see all that baby oil?
That's not baby oil. That's hotness in here. These goddamn lights.
I got the fan on. That's baby
oil. She got one little ass fan on. That motherfucker's like this big. What the fuck am I gonna do with that fan? Fuck that fan.
That's
about as much as somebody going.
Y'all, we gonna be here all night, kikiing as you can see, and rehearsing lines. Now, I will tell y'all, stay away from them low budget. I was watching something last night, and I was like, it was good. The storyline was good, but I was like, this is ridiculous.
What's the name of? Do you know? It might be somebody I know.
It made it to Netflix.
Now, I will say this. Low budget is not necessarily bad.
Oh, no, but it was surprisingly, it had a lot of celebrities that know celebrities. The Family Business.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's
it Tyler had a
Perry.
Lot
that's Tyler
of.
Perry.
Is it Tyler Perry?
That is a Tyler Perry film. I'm not surprised. I'm good friends with a few people in that movie. Shout out to Brealey Evans. I didn't say it. She did. So, yeah. Damn it, Doctor. You said it was a great movie. Is what the fuck you just did?
I did. Shout out to Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry. Call me.
All your movies are wonderful. We love them all. Come on here.
Yeah, anyway, but...
it wasn't low budget. It was all the actors and everything like that was great. Absolutely amazing. The pal guy, I forget his name. What's his pal? He lives up the street here. I see him at the bank, at my Chase Bank.
I'll introduce me there. But anyway, I want to thank you for having me, Matt.
Well, thank you so much. Cheers with the water.
Cheers with the water, because we need it.
Because he needed it. Give me some love. Bring it in.
Come on now.